Okay, we're recording. First of all, I'm so surprised because I was looking for my Anchor app and Spotify for podcasters coming up. I did not know Spotify bought Anchor. That's pretty cool. I don't know why I didn't know that. But anyway, hey, y'all. I know it's been so long, but I promised myself that I would start recording my podcast while I'm in this process that I'm going to explain maybe for another episode of just rebranding, like, the show, finding out what my intention is. It's a lot going on. But either way, I said I was going to still record, or at least record while I'm in this fast. For those of you who don't know, it is the month of Ramadan, so I am fasting for the entire month, which is why I'm not on social media right now except for TikTok. I'll explain that why. And fasting, not eating from sunup to sundown, and yes, even water for the people who always ask. When Muslims fast for the month of Ramadan, we do not drink or eat anything from sunup to sundown. And I made the choice to also not be on social media because that's not required. But for me, when I'm in any spiritual mode, not just with fasting, I like need tunnel vision. I feel like when you fast, that's when you really hear God the most, and it's not the time to really be taking in other people's thoughts, not just because social media can be negative, even other people's positives. Like, it's the time to really be fully tuned into yourself. So that's why I kind of removed myself from social media. I kept TikTok because first, I didn't have a lot of followers on TikTok, and I don't follow a lot of people I know. And I use TikTok really for other things, like looking up recipes. And my algorithm is super dope. So I only see content that I'm super interested in, which is like spirituality stuff, mental health stuff, how-to stuff, like recipes and stuff like that. But funny thing is, I posted this video before I started my fast of my daughter crying her eyes out because she wants to go back to DR. Her father and I took her to DR for her fifth birthday, and she's been like, she thinks DR is like around the corner, or she thinks that money grows on trees, and we just snapped our fingers and decided to take her there. So she cries for DR. Like, where most kids are crying for an extra fruit snack, this is the stuff that she cries about. So I posted that video on TikTok and it went viral. Okay, it's right currently at like you know what, I'm gonna look at it right now. I hope this still is recording. It's at over 100k views and about like over 20,000 likes. So that's hilarious. But I don't keep my notifications on, honestly. So I don't, it's not really bothering me, but my TikTok is going crazy. Today's message, I don't know how long this episode is going to be. I'm just going to rant on it because it's something that just came to mind. Right now it is 6:48 a.m. I've been up since 4 a.m. because we wake up to eat before we start the fast. So that's what I did. And then usually I'll go back to sleep after I pray, but now I'm just up. So I was like, this message is on my mind. Let me just get it out. So my best friend and I were talking yesterday. She said something that I've always said, but the way that she said it and the way she worded it was so perfect. She said, sometimes it's important for us to not worry about the why we are the way we are and focus on the what. What do we want to become, or who do we want to become? And that is something I always said, because I talk to a lot of my friends about, like, you know, we talk about healing and just childhood trauma or just personality traits that we realize about each other's that our parents may have, or certain habits that's within our family genetics. And I remember telling one of my friends, like, you know, she's always like, she's deep into her healing journey, and every day she calls me to tell me something she learned about herself or something she unpacked within her family. And every time she finds something out, she's like, okay, now I have to sit down and figure this out. Now that I figure out why it is the way it is, or what it is, I need to figure out why. And I just was like, you know, don't waste so much of your life trying to figure out the why. Don't waste so much of your healing process trying to figure out the why. And when me and my best friend was talking yesterday, we were talking about like how even the way we look as human beings in general today has evolved over time. Like, the human experience, first of all, is automatically like one of our number one things is to evolve. Like that is a given when you're a human. But so much of who we are started way back. I'm talking about generations back that we couldn't even explain why. Like some of the anger issues that some people battle with, some of the emotional tendencies, some of a lot of the things that we think started with us really started freaking 100 generations before us. And we weren't even there to see the why. And even if we saw the why, we probably wouldn't even be able to comprehend it because it was at a time, during a time that we didn't live. And I remember I saw this video, I think it was an interview I was watching where it was talking about, like, we see all these mass shootings happening and, you know, it typically happens or at the hand of a white person. And the video was talking about how way back in the day, years ago or whatever, going to war and killing people was something that was held very high in the beginning of forming this country and just other countries. War was a thing. This is how they were conquering the land. So it was a thing to go to other countries, murder people, murder kids, murder women, murder men, murder families, murder innocent people. And then you would come home and be praised because that means you guys won the war. And that means that we get to keep our country or keep our town to ourselves. So this was something that was an extremely important process in building the world that we live in today, that we also love. So coming, the video talked about how a lot of us or a lot of this generation of mass shooters are descendants of relatives from years ago who lived that kind of life. And that once you live, like once you, certain things that we do, certain things that we have done on earth, it doesn't just die when you die. Genetically, like our genetics is deeper than just, like, oh, I got my mama eyes, I got my mama nose, I got my daddy head, I got my daddy forehead, I got my mama edges. Like it's really deeper than that. Like a big chunk of personality, all these things. It's so crazy because I see it every day in my daughter. Like a lot of what I used to attribute to my personality type, like I grew up with my two sisters and we all three have three distinct different personalities. Like we three different types of people. So I grew up thinking that I was the only one that acted the way I acted. Like, granted, I have my dad's personality. Like, me and my dad's personality is close. But just in general, a lot of my ways, I always attributed to just me. And I used to think that, I used to always say, it's because of how I grew up. You know, I grew up with a single dad. My mom got deported. I had to be independent at a young age. Like, I used to always tell that story to myself and to others. Like, the reason why I am the way I am is because of what happened to me in my specific lifetime or whatever. And when I had my daughter's life, she's only five. Her life is, my five and her five look completely different. Like, yes, I mean, she has what we have in similarity. Like, she grew up with loving parents. I grew up with loving parents in its own way, but different. Like, me and her dad are super vocally loving with her. Like, she hears I love you 100 times a day. She hears you're pretty 100 times a day. She thinks she's a superstar solely because of how we talk to her. My parents, they loved me because they kept a roof over my head and they gave me compliments, but I didn't grow up hearing I love you. I didn't grow up hearing like verbal affection. So even that was differently. But my daughter, I promise you, from the age of 1 month, you would think that she was the oldest of 10 kids. Just the way how independent she is, like by choice. Like, I'm an overly independent mom. Her dad is a helicopter dad that, like, he don't even want her to walk on the ground without him picking her up. But she's super independent. Like, she's super independent since a young age. And she just has, like, she's just super wise. And I'm like, wow. It was a reality check for me because all that I've always attributed to my struggle or my trauma or the things that I experienced at a young age that wasn't so pleasant, it's like, girl, no, that's not why you became, that's not why you were the first college graduate in your family. That's not why you're able to accomplish some of the things that you accomplished. That's not why you're unemotional. That's not why, like, I had to really go back and evaluate a lot of the stuff that I told myself was me because of my why. And it's like, well, my daughter's why and my why wouldn't be the same. So the why really doesn't matter. For all I know, the great, 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 great grandmother, I never even met my grandmother. She passed away before, like when I was very, very young. And my father's grandmother passed away before I was even born. So I wouldn't even know what they were like. And a lot of what they were like were probably just passed down to me energetically. So this is what gets me about this message of don't focus on the why, focus on the what. When I say what, the what is the truth. The what is what do you want? Who do you want to be? What and who? Like, what is it that you're looking for? And my friends joke with me all the time because I always tell people that when I go to therapy, I don't like to go to Black women. And I'm a Black woman. And it's not, no, I'm all support Black business. I'm all Black. But when it comes to healing, it's very important. I don't focus on my why. Like, if you ask me, hey, why are you the way you are? I can come up with an elaborate, integral, deep thinking thought of why I am the way I am. There's nobody that knows me how I know myself in the sense of just being able to articulate it. So I think most people go to therapy because they was like, I want someone to understand me. So when I explain them, they understand where I'm coming from. I don't want someone to understand me. I want a different perspective, because what you're experiencing is solely based on how you view things. Okay. Me and someone else could be looking at an apple, the same freaking apple, and have two different experiences. And the only thing that differentiate our experiences is our perspective. So I love talking to people that would have a completely different perspective from me, so that I can tap into that perspective. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I remember I went to a therapist. And I went to a therapist after I had my daughter, because I didn't have postpartum depression, but baby blues. And it was just, I had really more so anxiety. Like, what the heck? I'm really like, it hit me after she came home. Like, I'm really responsible for this baby. And all my life, I've always operated off of like just steps, facts and steps. I'm still not a person that really deal with emotion. I just deal with steps. Like, okay, I got to do this, 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 that. But when a baby comes, there's no steps. This step one, you might go from step one to step five, then got to go back to step three. Like, in the process of raising a kid, it's just, there's no like step-by-step process. It's just all over the place. So every day waking up and not knowing what today's going to look like, and then also not knowing what the day's going to look like. You don't have control, but then you are also responsible. You have the biggest responsibility ever to make sure that this kid, this baby, lives to see another day, right? So that anxiety, like, was killing me. So I was like, you know what? Let me go see a therapist. And I went to go see a therapist. This therapist was a white, older male. And I didn't know how to describe what my problem was. So I just kept saying, like, you know, I said, oh, I'm here for anxiety. You know, I just had a baby. And he's like, okay. And I'm like, you know, I wasn't expecting that. I was like, yeah, well, I just had a baby and I'm anxious. And then I try to just dig problems out my ass. Like, okay, you know, I have to go to work. I have this. And she's like, so every problem I would come up with, he was like, but you said, like, he would name a solution based on what I told him. And he was just so like, okay, you're going through something that 90 billion other women in the world are going through, having a kid. You're not the first person in the world to have a kid. You know that? And initially, of course, it offended me. I'm just like, and, you know, even people, I told this story, like, how dare he say that? Like, he doesn't know the experience of a mom. And, like, you know, he's a man, clearly never had a kid. But his perspective, like, just not even just, like, what, it's not about what he said. It's his ability to not channel, like, the struggle. Because I think a lot of times, even, like, for moms, and just from what you see on social media, maybe what you see other people go through, even now that I'm a mom, I see a lot of moms more so articulate the struggles of motherhood. And not to say motherhood is easy, but it's the only vocal aspect I see over and over and over again with every single type of mother. Like, and especially, I mean, I hate to say, but really with usually Black women. Like, I've worked with a lot of white women. I've worked with, I went to a predominantly white school. So I follow people, but I'm from the hood and most of my friends are Black or whatever. And my entire family is Black. I only hear this from Black people where they talk about the struggles of motherhood. So when this man is telling me, like, okay, like, almost like it's not a, not that it's not a big deal, but like, okay, what are you stressed about? Or like, okay, it's not a big deal. This is what he was basically summing it up to be. Tapping into his perspective helped me a lot because it's really the perspective, real talk, that I have about motherhood now. Not to say motherhood is easy, but like going to college and writing 20-page papers about topics I don't give a fuck about was not easy as well. But it was like whatever to me. Like, you know, a lot of people talked about college when I was in high school. Like, it's so hard. It's so hard. And when I was in it, it's just like I'm just doing it. Like, you know, it's not about it being easy or hard. It's just doing it. And that perspective that he had about motherhood is something I always, it's like, it is what it is. But it's also, I didn't manifest any unnecessary struggles that didn't have to be my struggle as well. Like, you know what I'm saying? It was just like the fact that I'm able to travel a lot with my daughter, the fact that I'm currently home with my daughter and work from home and all these things that worked out for me was because I didn't really, like, how my life is now, especially in motherhood, was not supposed to be my reality based on just the universal struggle people tend to put out about motherhood. And once I stop overthinking and indulging in the deep negative why energy of, well, I have my kid unplanned, so that means I'm not going to be financially stable now that the kid is here. I didn't have a savings for my child. And I have all these things now. And it didn't happen for me just digging into the why. Like, you know, digging into the depth of why something shouldn't be the way it is or why something is the way it is. I focus on the what. What? I'll give a perfect example. When my daughter was like a couple of months or whatever, at that time I was living at home with my mom. My mom and my sisters and stuff was helping me with her. And while I was at work, they was watching her. My mom called me and was like, she's sick. I don't know what's going on with her. You got to take her to the doctor. First of all, I went from no kid. All my siblings were the same age. Only had to care about myself. And now it's like I'm the coworker that has to leave work because my child's sick. Anxiety. Like, just once again, things that I could not control. Like, who knew that this morning when I was waking up, she's fine. Now I'm at work, she's sick. And I had to, like, go tell my boss that I have to leave. And just that process, one, I'm not used to having to ask. So I grew up with immigrant parents, elderly immigrant parents, because other people with immigrant parents have different experiences. Usually you hear the strict stories. One, my mom was deported when I was 9. So my dad raised us as a single parent and he was a full-time working parent. So, and then on top of my personality type, which I mentioned my daughter has of being super independent, I just wasn't the kid that they would helicopter. Like, I was freaking reading bills from my parents when I was freaking 6 years old. So, like, I was just super independent. Like, I was able to, my parents grew up in Africa in a village where the village raised the children or helped raise the children. And I grew up in a building in Jersey where it was a lot of Africans and relatives. So it was like, I wasn't a kid that had to tell my dad, hey, I'm going here to hang out and have to list a bunch of questions. He would let me go. I would just go and he just would know, like, she'll be all right. Like, you know what I'm saying? So having to go to my boss, first of all, my child is sick. That's a necessity to me. Like, at home when I was like 7, 8, if it's like, oh, I'm hungry, I got to go get something, I get up and go get something to eat, go out to the store by myself and go get something to eat. I don't stop and have to tell somebody. So if my child is sick, having to stop and my work and almost like ask for permission was such a freaking uncomfortable feeling for me. Okay. Uncomfortable. I was like, and you know how these work people, it was a very toxic environment that I was working at the time. And like, just like how they can be passive aggressive. Like, granted, we know by law, can't no coworker make you stay at work, especially for a medical emergency. But you know, the tone they create, like they just make you feel like you're asking for something wrong. Like you just asked for $1 million. And one thing I never used to ask, I'd be like, I have to go, my daughter's sick. But still, the tone was just like, okay, but low key was like, oh, this bitch tried it. But also you could tell she feels some type of way because you can't really say anything. So anyway, I just remember that feeling and I was like, I don't ever want to feel that again. And of course, initially I started to go into the why or the how, like, okay, like, how am I going to make sure that I don't ever have to speak to a boss? At that time, this was pre-pandemic. So I was like, you know, the only way that I could get myself in a position where I don't have to tell my boss that I have to leave for my child or like ask for permission at work is to be my own boss or to get super rich. And at that time, it's like, my daughter is here. I don't got that kind of time. I don't got that type of hope. Like when something truly affects me, hope is not what I can lead on. Like decisions need to be made. Something needs to happen. But I didn't have those answers now. Like, you know what I'm saying? I didn't have the answers. So I didn't focus on the how or the why. You know what I'm saying? How this, I just, what? What the what was, what equals truth? The truth was I didn't like how that made me feel. The truth was I don't ever want to feel that way again. And now a year, not even a year, even before the pandemic, I ended up leaving that job. The universe made that happen where I could leave that job. And I ended up getting another job that I didn't have that issue. I no longer had to ask for permission. If I said I wasn't coming, I wasn't coming. Cool, let us know when you're able to come. Or like, you know what I'm saying? And then right after that, the pandemic happened. And then right after that, I was laid off during the pandemic, but I was comfortably at home with my kid, still being able to pay my bills. You know what I'm saying? That never was a reality. Like, you know what I'm saying? The pandemic, how much some people was getting during the pandemic with the stimulus and all of that. Like, I was making basically how much I was making at the time at the job that I was let go of. And then moving forward, now I'm at a job where I'm making the most money I've ever made in throughout my career. And I'm home. And I don't ask for permission. I said, hey, like I have a doctor's appointment at 9. And when I woke up at 4 a.m., I just emailed them, said, hey, I just put an email, where's Kadi? And I say, hey, I'm going to be at my doctor's appointment. Anything urgent, hit me on my Slack, because I have that on my phone so they can message me on there. But if it's not, I'll holler at y'all when I get back. That is the thing at my job. Like, you know what I'm saying? But I feel like I was able to manifest where I am right now, at least with my career and balance between motherhood and career, was by focusing on the what. And then feeling like I'm deserving of what it is that I want, my truth. I'm deserving of that. Another thing that I do too is I love watching, I love the Kardashians, but I'm not like a Kardashian fan, like in the sense of, oh, I'm just obsessed with how they look. I like watching their show. And I never used to watch their show early on, but I started watching it once it got onto Hulu. They are so the opposite of the realities I've experienced in life. Clearly, they grew up super rich. They're white. They're privileged. But I love watching their show and how oblivious they are to two things that I am looking to master. They're so oblivious to struggle. The thing about struggle is the more you focus on struggle, the more you build characteristics that make you endure struggle more. You know what I'm saying? When you focus on that why, when you focus on that all my life I had to fight, it doesn't do anything but equip you with more fight in you. And I have reached a point where it's like, damn, been there, done that. Like, we all pray for a long life. We all wish we could have a long life. But how boring will life be if the life that we live for as long as we wanted to live is the same freaking life? It's the same story. It's like, okay, been there, done that, mastered that. Like, I don't want to fight. I don't want to get where I got to in life. Yeah, I want to get there with a good intentions, with great character, and for what I deserve. But I don't want the story of, oh, my struggled life and all that I've been through and look what I overcome. Like, it's so redundant, at least for me. I'm not saying this to say in general, because I still love hearing inspirational stories and I love looking into other people's story. But for me, I mastered that. I don't get no butterflies when people are like, oh my God, you've been through all this. Like, child, I said my mom got deported at 9. I am 30. I am 30 plus. Like, I'm 30. I'm going to be 32 this year. That's not going to be my story for the next 30 years or 60 years. Like, so I look at the Kardashians because their lack of struggle. They and not lack of struggle just because of wealth. You could tell they don't even come from that mindset. Like, their mindset of struggle, maybe even before the sex tape, was just not the struggle, at least in the way I envisioned struggle, or I experienced struggle. So I watched them for that. And the second thing is their care for judgment. I just love, like, who drops a sex tape? I mean, whether she did it intentionally a lot or not, it's just so much embarrassing shit that happens with their family, and they be right on TV talking about it. And not just talking about it, the way they embrace each other. Like, it's certain shit, especially Black families, it's certain embarrassing shit that happens with one individual family member that they won't even share with other family members. Them folks be having full-blown meetings about embarrassing shit that's going on in their relationships, in their marriage, in their personal life. And I was like, wow. Like, yes, fear of judgment has stopped me from dropping a sex tape. Fear of judgment has stopped me from doing embarrassing things, but it's also stopped me from doing great things. It stopped me from pursuing great business ideas. It stopped me from really going after potentially great opportunities. So the fear of judgment. So I was like, I just like watching how naturally, like, that's the thing. Like, I feel like when you're healing, like, if I wanted to heal my fear of judgment, all right, or if I want to heal my past struggles, it just requires me to just force it. It requires me to just dwell on it too much. Not force it, but dwell on it too much. Instead, I just watch people who naturally do it. And maybe because that's the way I learn, I'm a master of tapping in to different energies. So just watching their show and how seeing how natural it is for them to just not have a fear of judgment, also to just not really dwell on struggles. Like, if you would have told anybody, it's some of us that got 3 business ideas and is embarrassed to put them all 3 out at once because it's going to confuse people. People are going to think I'm doing too much. Kim literally is selling draws, releasing people out of prison, and doing TikToks with her daughters, all at once, with the background of having a sex tape. Like, some people would have got known for becoming sex, like, you know, dropping a sex tape, and would have been embarrassed to do anything else because people remember them for what they did or how she became famous. She don't focus on that. She woke up one day and said, you know what? I want to release some folks from jail. I want to go to law school. The audacity. I be loving their audacity because that is the energy that I need to tap into. So I'm going to leave y'all at that. Just whoever is on there, this is for the folks that are on their healing journey. This is for the folks that want to just change, who want something different just for the sake of wanting something different from life. Don't focus too much on your why. You probably wasn't even born when the why occurred. Because genetically, we are made up of everyone that came before us. Focus on the what and be very specific. Do not be realistic, be specific. Because what is real today, or what is unrealistic today, could be very real tomorrow. Y'all, we was walking around regular. If you would have told people prior to 2020 that we will be walking around this place with masks and nobody would be going to work and the government would give us cash, we would literally laugh. Unrealistic. And it became our reality. So when you are focusing on what, the truth of what you want, the truth of who you want to be, forget realistic. Focus more on being specific. What do I feel and what don't I want to feel? And start there. And then it will naturally manifest to you. Hope you guys have a good day. And hopefully I'll have a message for you guys next week. I don't know what my consistency is going to be like for this. This was therapeutic, so I might do this every week until I work on my rebrand as I get messages that I want to talk about. But hope to see you guys next week on this next episode. Bye.